Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
You know, during this last series, this Advent series called Waiting Here for You, we've been talking about what we have been expecting, what Jesus brought into this world. And we've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about peace. Gordon preached a great message on joy last week and how to live victorious in the joy that God has given us. And so this morning we're going to be talking about hope and the hope that Jesus brings to us. Amen. But before we talk about that, before we talk about the hopeless world and all the things that we experience in our lives, I want to talk to you about a few things that I did growing up. You know, it's Christmas time tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. Again, how many kids are excited about Christmas? How many adults are excited about Christmas? Oh, yeah? You got some gifts lined up? But, you know, Christmas is a time when people come together for traditions. And being an international church here, I can imagine that there are so many different traditions that I couldn't even begin to compare with. But I'll just share. I was going to share some of Gordon's traditions, but then I remembered that this is a family service, so I've got to kind of keep it PG and clean this morning. So, Gordon, I will spare everyone this morning, all right? But, you know, some of the things that I remember, there's always great memories, right? There's always a time of coming together around the table, around sharing a great meal, a Christmas meal, or sharing gifts, or singing songs, whatever the case may be. But for me, for my family growing up in the southern part of the U.S., I was from Louisiana. I grew up in Mississippi, Alabama. And so I don't know if you know anything about the U.S., but that's the southern part. And that's where everybody likes to eat good food. At least that's what we call it. We call it good food, soul food, southern food. And so that was the big deal for us. We would gather around on Christmas Day and we would have roasted turkey, some glazed sugar ham. I know Gordon is loving this one right now. Gordon eats ham by the bucketfuls. We'd have cornbread dressing. Anybody know what cornbread is? Come on. Cornbread dressing. We would have sweet potato casserole, green bean casserole, any kind of casserole you can think of, right? Come on. Come on. I feel it getting warm in here, right? Come on. You know, we would have all this great stuff. As long as it had a lot of butter, flour, and sugar in it, it was going to be eaten. It was going to be good, right? And so, man, we would just eat, and we would just, that was something that was special to us. That was what marked our family, right? For some of you, it might be the lights and the ambiance of the Christmas season. You know, my wife loves to put our Christmas tree up. We even put it up before Thanksgiving this year, which is a long time to be watching that Christmas tree. But, you know, she loves it. She loves the Christmas lights. Last week, we had the opportunity to go and visit the Christmas markets and Strasbourg and Colmar, and what a wonderful, wonderful experience to see just all the Christmas lights and different scenes of Christmas. Some people like singing the carols. How many of you like to sing carols? Well, I like to sing carols some, but I didn't like one particular carol because of my name being Joel. And that's what Gordon calls me. So it would be often, Joel. Come on, you can do it. Joel. Joel. I'm serious. They would never let me live it down. Every Christmas I would hear this, Joe. And so I'm like, okay, that's the one song that I do not like. You get the picture. But whatever they are, we've all got traditions and they're all great. And I want to just celebrate this time of year as much as I can. And we want to celebrate, of course, what Jesus has done in our life. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Don't get me wrong. The food was good. And, you know, growing up in a Christian home, I knew it was about Jesus. But for me, one of the most important things was Christmas Day. I was going to get a gift. that I had been hoping for, that I had been dreaming for, that I had been writing letters to Santa Claus or whoever, and telling my mom and dad, like, I want this specific gift. I was hoping that there were going to be loads of Christmas gifts under the tree, but there was always that one gift that I wanted. And this one particular year, I had a great hope. It was, I believe, 1984, and I was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. And in the 1970s, 1977 to 1983, there was a TV show called Chips. Anybody ever remember Chips? California Highway Patrol. California Highway Patrol. Basically, it was a show about policemen riding motorcycles, chasing bad guys, lots of car crashes, lots of chases, different things happening. And so I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be when I grow up. And so I had high hopes of one day becoming a police officer and chasing all the bad guys. So that year, what was on my Christmas list was, I don't know if you remember these things, but they were big wheel racers. And there was a special one. It was a Chips model big wheels racer, and that's what was on my list. And it was this cool little tricycle. You know what? I've got a video. Why don't we just look at the video? It'll show you a little bit better idea than I can describe that. You guys have that video? Oh, yeah.
Big wheels are a-rolling with big fat wheels in back. Those fat back wheels are something else. Fat enough to take turns at full speed. Slick enough so when you jam on the brakes, you spin. Spin! Big wheel with handbrake and fat wheels in back. Some assembly required. Big wheel by Marks.
Come on. That was my Christmas gift I was longing for, man. I didn't care about anything else. And that Christmas day, I don't have a picture of it, but I do have another picture that you can see. You might appreciate. Yep, that's me. That's me and my sister and my mom. But that was the big wheel that I wanted. And I'll tell you what, my hopes came true that Christmas morning. I got that big wheel, and man, it was already out of the box. It was already put together, and I got on that thing, and I rode it for months and months and months until it probably fell apart. I don't even remember now. But, you know, my high hopes of that present came to fulfillment, but I will be honest with you, and it's kind of obvious today that my high hopes of becoming a California Highway Patrolman and riding a motorcycle did not. Actually, I was kind of on the other side of that whole chase part thing. And so I'll just let it ride with that. But, you know, we all have hopes. The world has hope. The world needs hope. The world is longing for hope. And today we want to just kind of talk about what is hope. You know, we can have little hopes. We can have big hopes. We always have something hoping in our hearts. And what I wanted to talk about today, and this is going to be a very quick message, and it's really going to be quick because you're going to help me out here with these things, right? But one definition, there's two ways of looking at hope that I would like to look at today. There's probably a lot of other different ways. So this is the two different definitions of hope that I want to talk about today. One definition is to wait for, look, or desire, expect something beneficial in the future. And this is what I like to call human hope. It's the kind of hope the world lives for. It's the kind of hope that, you know, we have daily hopes, we have long-term hopes. We have, for example, here's some good examples. You know, I hope that I don't get my picture taken by one of those speed cameras as I drive around France today. How many of that has happened to you? That's a hope, because you're hoping it doesn't happen. Now, listen, I hope I get that promotion that I've been working really hard for. I hope it doesn't rain today and spoil our church picnic. I hope the dentist doesn't find any cavities in my appointment. You see, this kind of hope is determined by our current realities, and it is never guaranteed. but there is a possibility that you can affect that hope. For example, I hope it doesn't rain today and cancel our picnic, but the forecast says it's 99.9% chance that it's going to rain and cancel our church picnic. So that's hope, but it's probably not likely going to come true. Now, I hope that I go to the dentist and he don't find a cavity. Well, you could, if you're taking care of your teeth and you're flossing and you're brushing and you're making sure that everything's good, you have a good chance of affecting the outcome of that situation. Or if you haven't been brushing your teeth and all you've been eating is candies and sweet pies, and you go to the dentist and not brushing your teeth, you're probably going to find a cavity. So your hope, it's the way we use hope. It's just like a longing, a desire for something beneficial, but it's something that can't be guaranteed. It's always changing according to the circumstances in which we find ourselves, right? There is unrealistic hope. There is hope that sets you up for failure. Things that you long for, but there's never any chance of that ever happening. It's kind of like Gordon and his hope to become a professional tennis player. This is a professional tennis player. I'm very honored to be in his presence. But it'd be like me trying to become a professional tennis player. I'm in my 40s already, and I'm saying, you know what? I just hit that ball so well the other day. I'm gonna be an amateur tennis player and go in and play, and that's an unrealistic hope, and it's just gonna set me up for disaster, because it's gonna be like, you know, I'm really hoping for this. I'm really wanting this to happen, but it's not gonna happen. So maybe that's a bad example. But anyway, sometimes we put our hopes in governments. We put our hopes in riches. We put our hopes in security of this world. Things that are shifting. Things that are always changing. Things that have no guarantee. And so that's what human hope is. But let's look at how the Bible defines hope. The biblical definition of hope is an indication of certainty, a strong and confident expectation, and I like to call it godly hope. Godly hope, it's a present and future reality based on the unchanging promises of God. Amen. Let me say it again. It's a present and future reality based on the unchanging promises of God. There's nothing we can do to influence it. There's nothing we can do to change it. It's the certainty of salvation that we have because Jesus came into the world, and it's the certainty that we have that redemption and that freedom and that fulfillment of everything that was promised through the prophets centuries before. He came into the world and he fulfilled that hope, and now we have what we call a living and eternal hope. This is godly hope. This is the hope that the world is longing for. They just don't know that they're longing for it. And I say the world, I mean people who have not encountered Jesus, people who have not believed on his name. This is the hope that they have in their hearts. And this is the hope that we as Christians, followers of Jesus, should have in our lives on a daily basis. It's our living hope, our everlasting hope. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen," which means yes, "ascends to God for his glory." God is never changing. His promises are yes and amen. That's according to the word of God. When we say yes, we say amen, that is going to come about. God is never going to change his mind. He doesn't change his mind like a man. He never changes. He is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Nothing has been before him, and nothing will be after him. And we have that assurance through his promises and his word. And we can take it to the bank, if you understand that expression. We can take that all the way to the bank. We know that we can cash that check in. And we know that it's not going to bounce. We know that it's going to go through because it's what God said. Amen? Yet for us to have this hope that we talk about in Jesus coming into the world, as we've heard the songs this morning, as we've read the stories, as we've listened to the video, Jesus came into the world and he brought hope. In order for us to have this hope, I think a lot of times we first have to recognize that we are hopeless, that we need this hope. Our neighbors, I have neighbors that live right next to me. They have no idea that they need this hope. They have no idea that they are lost for eternity, in a sense. They are lost. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. And it's my burden to bring that hope to them. But I can't make them understand that hope. They have to get to a place to where they understand, I can't bring salvation to myself. And so you have to realize you're hopeless. Ephesians 2, 12 through 13 says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. How many of you remember that day? Have you ever lived apart from Christ? I was there. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. You were apart from Christ. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But then in verse 13 it says, but now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not just a story about a baby coming in a manger. That is part of it. But it's about what Jesus did with his life, death, and resurrection. He came not only to humble himself as a young baby in a manger and project that humbleness and that humility of God, but he also came to crush the dominion of Satan in this world. He came to crush the dominion of the worldly kingdom, and he overcame death, he overcame hell, he overcame the grave. He is a risen Savior. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's not just a little baby in a manger that we celebrate. We celebrate the risen Jesus. We celebrate the coming King, the one who's coming back to save us. That's who we celebrate. 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16 says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, who was working in the church in Ephesus at the time. And he said, Christ Jesus came in the world to do what? To save sinners. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the hope of the world coming in here is all about. It's about saving people who were separated from God. Sinners. Sin separates us from God. That's as simple as it can be. And he goes on to say, who I am of the worst. He said, I'm the worst of sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You are not beyond salvation. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you any less. He already proved that when he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross for your sins. You cannot work for your salvation. You cannot work for your eternal hope. You have to accept what Jesus did for you. And he's patient. What does that say? He says he's patient. And he uses those like Paul and like myself as an example to show, like, hey, you know what? You are not beyond the reach of God. No one is beyond the reach of God. He loves us so much. And that's why we celebrate this hope. Romans 5, 6 says, you see just at the right time when we were still powerless, still hopeless, still struggling in our sinfulness, still struggling in our works, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. And he brought us from being ungodly to having a godly hope. Amen? If you'll help me out, I'll finish this out real quick and we'll get back to our traditions and whatever that might be here in a little bit. When we were powerless and hopeless to do anything about our sinful nature, when we were separated from God, he gave us the gift of Jesus. That's what the gospel is. And through Jesus, if we've accepted what he's done for us, we have eternal life with God. We've been made right with him. We have eternal hope. the author of Hebrews says that this hope that we have in Jesus is it's not shifting back and forth, but it's like an anchor. Have you understand what an anchor is? When you're out in the seas and the waters are coming very, very, very violently towards you and there's a storm there, if you drop that anchor, you're going to be anchored into that. It's not going to pull your boat any further out into the sea. It's going to anchor you. When you're wanting to be anchored into something, you put an anchor into the ground. And that's what Jesus is. He's our anchor. He's not changing, and God's promises are never changing. This hope that we have is strong and trustworthy. It's an anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. You see, before Jesus came, we were separated from God because of our sins. But now we have access to God. We don't have to hide behind and be scared anymore. We can enter into what God has called us into, even now here on earth. And this is what I want to talk about in closing this morning. Our hope is not just for the future, but it's present hope. It's always active. It's never passive. In other words, we're not just going to be sitting around in our rocking chair and saying, wow, we've got the hope of Jesus, and one day he's coming to save us. We're not just going to go nonchalantly through our lives just saying, oh, well, one day I have the hope of Jesus, and he's coming to save me from my present circumstances. No, we have a hope that's living and active. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy again in chapter 4. He said, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You see, if our hope is biblical, godly hope, it's going to move us towards God's promises. We are not going to be just sitting around waiting for something to happen. We are moving. We are constantly moving towards the promises of God. But it takes training on our part. It doesn't necessarily take works for salvation or anything like that, but it takes training on our part. We have to resist sin and temptations, and we have to be diligent about knowing God, knowing his word, reading our Bible, taking time to pray, training ourselves in the things that are godly, which will build us up. Look, I can attest to physical training. Right now, you can see that I don't do a lot of physical training. And my body's paying for it, you know? My body's paying for it. I'm weak in a lot of areas that I should be strong in. And it's the same way with our spiritual training. If we are weak in our relationship with God and the resources that he's given us, and we're not putting those things into practice, and we're not training ourselves in those areas, then we're going to be weak in our present hope. You see what I'm saying here? So this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive. We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. You see, when we have godly hope, it causes us to live in the light of eternity. We're not just living for today. We're not just living for the future, but we're living for all eternity. We have an eternal perspective. But even in that eternal perspective we have right now, godly hope brings us maturity in faith. It brings us love. We have joy. We have peace when we have godly hope. When we have godly hope, we have comfort in our current struggles. We have victory to live the life that Jesus said we could live. In John 10:10, he said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullness, have it in abundance. And when we have that godly hope in us for what he did upon the cross for us, out his life and death and resurrection, we have that hope. We have it living inside of us right now. We don't have to live the defeated life worrying about what the enemy is going to do, worrying about what our jobs are going to take us, worrying about where our health is going to be. We can trust God for the comfort that we have in the Holy Spirit that he has given us through our current struggles, through our current trials. That's what godly hope brings us. Let us stand this morning. I want to ask you as we stand this morning, what hope are we living for today? What hope are you living for today? Are you living for the hope of this world? Or are you living for the hope that came into the world? That hope called Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. You see, human hope is always changing. Human hope is never guaranteed. It can be a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Human hope can inspire you, and it can help you to do things, make your life better. But it's not lasting. It's not eternal. But when you put your hope in Jesus, when you put your hope in Him, you have a guaranteed hope. It's never going to change. And so I want to encourage us today, whatever Christmas traditions you find yourself in, wherever you are at this season of your life, I'm going to leave from here, and I'm going to go, and we're going to celebrate with our family. We're going to call our family back over in the U.S. We're going to do all those things and celebrate this time. But I really want to challenge myself and all of us who are here today to not just remember this time of year about the traditions and of those things, but remember this time of year of those people who don't have hope. Those people who are literally perishing without hope. My heart goes to Yemen. I don't know if you've been following that, but in Yemen, literally millions of kids are suffering from cholera right now because of conflict. And this is a nation where it's close to the gospel. So you've got people living without hope today. Suffering and going through trials and struggles. And you've got your neighbors all around you. They have no hope. But we can bring hope. Let's pray today that God will help us to bring hope to this world. Whether it be giving gifts, whether it be saying prayers for people, interceding for people who are lost, praying for people who we know to come to know Jesus and to come to know that hope. I want to encourage us today before we leave that we'll do our best to bring this message of hope to a world that is hopeless. Because we've experienced it. We know it. And this morning, if you are hopeless, you find yourself in a hopeless situation, or you find yourself here and you say, man, I don't even know what you're talking about, who Jesus is, and all of this stuff. I just want to invite you, after this time, you can come and speak with me or anyone here, and we'd love to talk to you about knowing Jesus and who He is and the hope that He brings into our lives. But as we sing this song, I want to just challenge you to just evaluate your life. Just take a few minutes and evaluate, what are you living for? What hope are you living for? Is it the human hope, or is it the godly hope? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. And it's such a privilege, Lord, to be here celebrating the hope that came into the world. Jesus, we welcome Your presence here, and we thank You that You are here with us. We ask You, Lord, today to bring hope to the hopeless. Lord, You brought hope to my life many years ago when I surrendered my life to You. When I was hopeless, Lord, You saved me. And so I thank You for that. And there are others here today, Lord, who are in that same position as where I am. Lord, we have hope, and we have a living hope, and we have this eternal hope, and we celebrate that today. But Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning who might not be living in that eternal hope, who might not be living their lives in a way, Lord, that is reflecting what You have already provided. So Lord, today I pray, God, that You would bring hope, the hope of Jesus. Let it be alive and active in our lives today. Not just a passive thing. Not just a thing saying one day we're going to make it to heaven. But Lord, let it be an active thing. Alive, present hope today. And Lord, I pray for all the people in this world today. The Philippines, Yemen, other places around the world, Lord, that are struggling with hopelessness today. I pray, God, that somehow during this season, during this Christmas time, Lord, that you would bring hope into this world. Bring hope into those situations. Bring hope where there's hopelessness. And we trust you for it, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.